الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون أياما معدودات. صدق الله العظيم. As we were discussing yesterday, that one of the aspects of keeping a perfect and complete roza fast is also keeping roza, that is staying away from all what is haram foodstuffs and what is doubtful and also which is unhealthy food. A person should eat halal, should eat tayyib, which is healthy, wholesome, and which has got no doubt in it. And as far as eating itself is concerned, which we were discussing yesterday, we explained that the dastarkhan should not be lower than where we are sitting. So for that reason, a practical thing is to put a blanket under the dastarkhan also. So then it is all at one level, and the dastarkhan itself, no matter it may be 1 millimeter, less than a millimeter, but it is now higher. So then that is quite in order. Also, what we could do is put a plastic. Many people like a pure white dastarkhan, nothing wrong with that. So put a plastic, a see-through plastic over it. So if anything messes, then it does not mess the dastarkhan, it does not mess the blanket or the carpet under. Or put a plastic under the dastarkhan. Then also, in case anything spills over while eating, it won't mess anything under, it will just beetle the plastic. Also, as far as eating is concerned, one time Hadrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Diobandi Rahmatullah Alayh, who was Mufti Azam of Pakistan, he was eating with his Ustad Hadrat Miyaji Sahib, Hadrat Maulana Mia Sahib, Hadrat Maulana Mia Akhtar Asghar Hussain Sahib. And after eating, they were eating melons. So after eating, they were eating mangoes. And after eating, Mufti Sahib asked, should I go and throw away the peels? So Hadrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh asked him, do you know how to throw away peels? So he said, do you have to do a course? You need a PhD, you need some degree to throw away peels also. He said, yes, you have to know. He says, we have eaten quite a few mangoes, and our neighbors here are all poor people. So therefore, if you throw all the peels in one place, it will come in their heart that these people ate so many mangoes, we don't even have one mango to eat. It will cause a difficulty, Iza a Muslim. So that is, it's not proper, it's not jais to give any Muslim any taklif. So do this, throw the peels, a few at one place, a few in front. There were not dustbins in those days. And the municipality cleaner, when he comes, he picks up the dirt which is piled up in front. So he'll pick it up from a few places. So those people won't feel hurt. So in this way we see that how to even throw away things. Besides that, Hazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib was such a buzurg, after Isha he used to read his wazifas, and it used to get quite late. And then he used to go home. On his way home, there was a woman's house who came on the way who was selling herself. She was a woman who sold herself. So when Mufti Sahib, Hazrat Maulana Mia Asghar Hussain Sahib, used to come towards her house, he used to take out his shoes and walk past there and wear his shoes again the other side of the house. So when somebody asked him about this, he said, this woman, she sells herself. She has become old now. Now she's not getting customers anymore. Now when she hears the tap-tapping of some shoes late at night, her ummid hope will come that some customer is coming. But when she hears the tap-tapping going away, she will feel sad that maybe he thinks I'm gone old, that's why. So therefore, not to cause her also any harm, Iza. So much our buzurgs are considerate, we people will just condemn to Jahannam. We'll have no time for them in any way whatsoever. But even their feelings. So these are the things to be cultivated within a person. On another occasion, هذا المفتي صاحب رحمة الله عليه وسيتين وتزر معلم يا أصغر حسين صاحب. And after meals again he asked, must I throw away all the dirt? So he asked him again, do you know how to throw it away? So he asked, is there a way to do it? So he said, yes. The peels of the watermelons, spun speck. He says, all of them, take them, and in a certain place, there are goats there. Go and throw it to them. They will eat it. The crumbs that were there, he said, take this and go and throw it in a certain place. There are always a lot of ants there. Go and throw it to them. And the bones that were there, he said, in a certain place, there are dogs, cats. Go and throw it there. So that also in eating, instead of filling the dustbin up, if we do it in this way, there are a lot of things that can be made fertilizer. If just a little bit of treatment, just a little bit, collect it in one place, it ferments and it becomes fertilizer. You don't have to go and buy again fertilizer. From our dastarkhan we can get our fertilizer. Then the bones we can give to dogs, to cats. And then the other things can be used for all other things. And when eating also, if we have, we separate it, take out the bones, put it in one plate, have one plate for the bones. When we were in Makkah Sharif, we saw that after even Monday, Thursdays, though it's out of Ramzan, but many people keep rozas and they put the dastarkhan, they put all the khajur. And khajurs also of different type, rutabs also, all other khajurs also. And then when the cleaners come to pick up, because they put a lot of khajur, nobody can eat so much khajur, but then they pick it up, all the rutabs are collected separately. All the other khajurs are collected separately. Pieces of bread are collected separately. So in this way, if everything is done separately, it can go easily into the correct places. There will be so much less of wastage. Our rubbish burns won't get so full also. And everyone whose share is in that food, they will get their share also. So that is also how we should try and eat. Put the bones all separately. And then to pick it all up, to pick up the dastarkhan also becomes so easy. And it isn't that whole lot of things are just going into the dustbin, whereas so many of other Allah's makhluk could have benefited from that. Also that what Mufti Maulana Miah Asghar Hussain Sahib said, that we are living here and there are a lot of poor people around us. There is another very great lesson here, which is also amongst the economy policy of Islam's economic policy. If a person is in the West, the system is, if you are living in any area and now your financial position is upgraded, you become more wealthier, you are earning better, then automatically a person goes and live in the more superior suburbs. In the upper class suburbs, he goes and live there. He buys a house there. But Islam's teaching is still stay where you are. And now the extra wealth of yours, you don't have to spend it on your accommodation, your housing, etc., but spend it on the people around you. That is the correct way, that Allah has given you more, and now the people around you, where you have made money, where you have made your wealth, spend it on those people. Hazrat Maulana Yusuf Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, Allah gave us two eyes. Whereas one eye is also enough for us. If a person just had one eye, and if the eye was in the place of the nose or on the forehead, one eye, and everyone's would be the same, it wouldn't have looked odd also. We should have been used to it, but why did Allah give us two eyes? One eye was to see our need, whatever our needs are, and the other eye was to see the need of the poor people, what their needs are. But today we are using both eyes for ourselves. So whatever Allah is giving us, we're just using it for ourselves. And the whole big fight in the world is basically of the haves and the have-nots. Those people who haven't got, they want more. Islam's teaching, Islam is a deen of sharing. Hadrat Maulana, our Shaykh Damat Barakatuhum says, that 2.5% zakat Allah Ta'ala has made compulsory. And this is the very last level of miserliness. Amongst the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum also, and other prominent great ulama also, zakat was 100%. And on what is zakat? Your wealth that has stayed over the whole year, which shows that over four seasons you did not need it. You didn't need it for summer, winter, autumn, spring. It's all extra money. So according to them, zakat was all 100%. But the whole ummah, the ulama are unanimous that zakat is only 2.5%. So that means that not 100% Allah made zakat, not 90, not 80, not 50, not 20, not 5. The last limit now, 2.5%. If a person doesn't give that amount also, then that is the limit of miserliness, that he can't even give 2.5% for the poor people. Also, we must remember that in our wealth, it's not only zakat that is compulsory. For example, a person has given his zakat finish, and now a very destitute person, genuinely your heart also tells you this person is definitely in great need. He has come to your door. Or there was a terrible storm in an area, and the houses, everything is broken, demolished there, everything is broken down. And now somebody comes to you, we have to help these people out. Or that person who came to your door, and you have still got money with you, more surplus than what you need also. And you tell him, I'm sorry, I finished, give my zakat. No, at that time, in your other wealth, those people have got a right and a haq in there. So it isn't only, or for example, you have given your zakat, but there is a masjid coming up in your area, and it's your faraz to give towards the masjid, to give towards, though we don't say it's faraz, in the sense, a technical sense of fiqh, that it is faraz, but it is your moral obligation, it's your duty that you have to give there. For a madrasa which is running and there is a need, it is your duty. So it isn't only our zakat. So anyway, our eating, as we had explained, we should eat the right food and must eat it at the right time when nice hunger has come to us. We shouldn't eat off habit. My father-in-law, Hazrat Maulana Zubair Ali Sahab Rahmatullah Ali, used to say that today we eat according to the watch. It's eating time, so we eat. And we have allowed half an hour for meals, we eat till half an hour. And whether we are full already, but now we must eat still. We have to nibble on this, nibble on that, carry on eating still. No, we should eat when we are hungry. And we should give up eating when still some. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say that actually what comes in the hadith and what the Sufia of the past used to teach, that you should eat when still some hunger is left. In other words, there is still place in your stomach. So Hazrat Ji said, in this zamana, eat your stomachs full, but don't eat your eyes full. That is, you still have got, you're still wishing. Your stomach is full, but you just enjoyed still that samosa, that pie. Now you're still taking one more, still taking another one, filling another half a glass juice. Your stomach is full, but now you are eating your eyes full, not your stomachs full, your eyes full. So in this zamana, eat your stomachs full, but don't eat your eyes full. Don't fill so much in you. So eating also, the quantity of eating is also extremely important. And really, to keep what is said, kamar sidhi ratna, just to eat to keep your back straight. In other words, to eat to live. We should not be living to eat. Normally, we are living to eat. And we should be eating to love. And for that, a small amount is required. You don't need so much of the food that normally we are consuming. And also, normally a person eats, but at least when he reaches the age of 40, then as there is a saying, that up to the age of 40, eat what you want to. But from the age of 40, now you must be very careful. You must give more consideration to your health now. And in that particularly, ulama must. Because the ilm which Allah has given them, it's not what they have acquired. We say we have acquired, but it's what Allah has given. And it's an amanat. And this amanat has to be an amanat. When somebody gives you an amanat and they want it, they ask for it again. You have to give it back again. So this ilm is an amanat which Allah has given, and Allah wants it that it must be, Allah asks for it again. That spend it on the people. go to the people and teach the people their deen, whichever form it is. If we can manage all forms, very good. Teach students in the madrasa and give bayans also, that is also teaching. And also make the islah of the people, that is also teaching. Booklets, pamphlets, kitabs, writing, this is also teaching, all the forms. So if the health is there, a person will be able to do all this. When if a person cannot, and a major thing that has an effect on our health is the food that we eat. As we had mentioned, if we eat correctly, food is our medicine also. If we eat the correct foods and in the correct way, and in the correct time, correct way, the food is enough for the medicine of a person. And most of the medicines, from what are they extracted? They are taken out from various food things, and just it's a concentrate now. If we were having that same thing, if we were having, for example, lettuce, whatever is good in lettuce, then we would have been getting that all the time. But when we don't, now they make an extract of it. Now it is given in a medicine form. Now we have to have that. In the same way, calcium. Wherever calcium is found, have calcium. You don't have to have calcium tablets afterwards. Have it in its natural form. So if we eat properly, correctly, and we eat all the foods in the correct way, the correct time, and also as we mentioned yesterday, that the food also when we eat it, the body, the stomach must be able, that's the work of the stomach, it must be able to extract and take out all the goodness of that food. But if we are eating and we are tensed, now we are just filling the stomach and we are just passing it through from the mouth and it goes out from the back again. The body didn't get the benefit of it if we ate when we were tensed up. And similarly, if we eat also too fast and we don't chew our food properly, then also it just goes in from the stomach and it comes out from the back. We did not get the benefit of that food. If we chew the food properly in a relaxed environment, then the body gets the maximum benefit of that food. So food is an important thing, and that also has to be learned. And also, as we had explained, that if a person's tarbiyat is made, he will eat also correctly. And in fact, yesterday we said that two people making namaz together, the same namaz behind the same imam in the same masjid, but once a namaz is taking him to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. As-salatu mi'rajul mu'min. And the other one's namaz, it's being made like a dirty rag and thrown back at him. So that is, and two people eating, one person's eating will be taking him to the arsh of Allah Ta'ala. And another person who eats the same food, they're sitting at the same dastarkhan, but one will be reaching the arsh of Allah by eating. And in fact, there is one dua also. Alhamdulillahi alladhi at'amani hadha wa razaqanihi min ghayri hawli minni wala quwwa. A person who reads this dua, his gunas are made maaf. So what a deen and what a tariqah we have been taught. Eat, which is an enjoyable and a thing that a person looks forward to and enjoys his eating. And in your eating, have your gunas also redeemed, made maaf. All your gunas also forgiven. What a beautiful deen haven't we been given. So your one person's eating, he is eating, enjoying his food, and his gunas are being made maaf. And when eating, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, Rahmatullah Ali said, Mufti Muhammad Rafi Saab, Rahadamad Barakatum explained to us, when we were having meals at Brother Abu Bakr Barachia's place, after meals he said that Hadrat Mufti, Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, their Shaykh, Rahmatullah Ali, he one particular quality that he was blessed with, to make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So after the meals he said, see now this meals, how much shukr we have to make to Allah Ta'ala. And ad-deen ala qadri al-uqul, that according to our intelligence is our deen. And how use our intelligence for the sake of deen. Otherwise it will be, dunya mein teri aqal kya kar gayi? What and what hasn't your brains done in this dunya? Deen mein wo kaha mar gayi. But when it comes to the matters of deen, then your brains don't work, they don't function there at all. Like some people, we tell them, do this job, they just don't understand their job. no matter how much you explain to them. But when they want to steal, then how their brains work, you don't know how their brain. So it depends where you use your brains. Allah has given every person brains, where he uses his brains, that is the thing. So, yeah, with regard to shukr, Mufti Dr. Abdul Hay Arifi, Rahmatullah Ali, used to say, see, Allah Ta'ala has given us this food, and he gave us this food on the dastarkhan of this host. And what a great ni'mat it is, what great azaz, respect and honor. While we were eating, if we picked up an argument with amongst ourselves or with the host, and the host became angry and he chased us out of the house, then where was your respect and izzah? Now you are chasing, he chased you away. He told you, come and fight in my house, there's the door, go out, get out of my house. Similarly, he could have given us the food, how he gives it to a beggar at the door. But yeah, with so much of respect he gave, called us in the house, and he gave us this food with so much respect and honor. And then, while we were eating, the whole environment was conducive for having a good meal. The ladies were happy to serve, to prepare the food, to give the food. The ones who were bringing the food, they were happy. If, khuda na khasta, news came that a close family member passed away, somebody got a heart attack, a motor car accident took place, a fire in the neighbor's house, then all the food was there, everything was prepared. We sat down to eat it, but now suddenly everything is, Allah Ta'ala gave afiyat. We had that whole meal with afiyat. How much of shukr to Allah Ta'ala we have to make. And then the food, that we are healthy, we can have it. Otherwise, there is rice, you say, I'm a diabetic, sorry, I can't have this. They bring some other curry, you say, I've got blood pressure, I can't have this. Now you can't have anything there. Everything is a problem. Allah gave you good health. How much shukr to make Allah to Allah Ta'ala that he gave you that. Then Allah Ta'ala has given us our taste buds. If we did not have that, then whether it is salty, it is sweet, whatever the effect, nothing. Just we are eating, it's just going down. And it wasn't even necessary for the taste buds. How lot of Allah's ni'mat that he gave us our taste buds. Now we are enjoying the ice cream. Now we are enjoying a chocolate. Now we are enjoying biryani. Now we are enjoying plow. We are enjoying samosa, whatever it is. If there weren't the taste buds, we just had to eat. And really, in our deen also, all we have to do is get taste buds. We are having namaz, but it's going down without any taste. Now we are making tilawat, no taste, no enjoyment. Now zikr, now dua, now helping some poor person, we don't get any. And it comes in the hadith sharif, neki is that when you do it, you enjoy it. That is what is a neki. The sign of a neki, of an act of sawab, when you do it, you get your enjoyment. But if the taste buds are gone dead, we just have to revive them. And then see how namaz is enjoyable. How today, Hadrat Maulana Sayyid Khan Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to say, that how we look forward to food today, we should be looking forward to namaz like that. And for example, Sundays, public holidays, all the masjids now, they have got that on Sundays, public holidays, namaz will be earlier. It's 15 minutes earlier, half an hour earlier. If this is for kathrat jamaat, to make the jamaat bigger, alhamdulillah, then it's good. But if it is for this reason, that namaz is in our way, just get finished with the namaz, then we can go and sit on our dastarkhan, we can go and sit at our table and enjoy our meal. Now we got no worry that you must eat quickly, finish, and you must go for namaz. Namaz is out of our way. Then that's not a good sign. If you, it should be, it comes in Bukhari Sharif, that if Isha is ready, Isha namaz, and Asha is ready, and that is the supper, Asha, supper. If both of them are ready, then what should a person do? Should he first make his Isha namaz, or should he first have his supper? So the answer is that a person must first have his supper. On that, when Shaykh al-Hadith Mu'adh Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi taught this hadith, so a student asked and he said, Hazrat, if we're going to have our supper, Jamaat will be over already. Because both are ready at the same time. Supper is so many times it happens and we ask, must we eat first or go and make namaz first? So what to do at that time? So it is eat first, finish. So the student said, if you're going to eat first, finish, namaz, you're already standing up, we're going to miss jama'at. So then Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali say, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum's food, unka khana tumhare bawa jaise khana thora tha. That to put the dastarkhan, it takes so long. To bring the plates, it takes so long. And then to bring the food, it takes so long. And then a first course meal, second course meal, third course, eighth course meal, 10 course meal, it takes so long. There it was, what was their supper? Then they ate a few khajurs, drank some water over it. Finish, end of the story. The whole supper is over. And you go there and you get your Isha also. So that was how it was. So, and the reason for that is, if you go and make your namaz first, yeah, you left your supper and you went there. You already got the smell of the chips and the chops and all that. Now your whole namaz you'll make also supper. And if you eat first, now your thoughts will be in your namaz. You'll make your eating also namaz. I mustn't miss my namaz. I mustn't miss my jamaat. You'll eat, but you made your food also, you made it into namaz. And if you go first for namaz, you'll make your namaz into food also. And you'll be the first one to finish. Let me go first so I can get the best piece of the chops and I can get the best piece of this. So, so eating also, we should eat in such a way that we get the maximum benefit of the food. So these are a few points with regard to meals, and this is also an extremely important part of our deen. And then another very important part, which is also part of our lifestyle, is our dressing. We should dress correctly also. This is also extremely important. In the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمِ وَبَاطِنَ. Stay away from ظَاهِرِ guna and بَاطِنِ guna. Outward guna and inward guna also. And many of us say, like for example with regard to the beard, the topi, or anything else also, that there is the whole of Islam only in the beard. You're stressing so much on the beard. You stress so much on the topi. Your trousers must be so much above the ankles. It looks like the whole of Islam is only in these things. And what is Islam actually, they will say? They'll read the ayat also. لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ. You worry so much of Qibla direction, that is not the important part of deen. Deen is all these things here. And in there, namaz is also mentioned, all that. Then there is about social welfare work, so people who do that, they feel that is more important. And what they say, Islam is in the heart. It is what your heart, what you got in your heart, that is important. So they say outward things, how you dress is not important. What is in your heart is important. That is the how, that is a, talbis, a iblis, how shaitan confuses the people. That what is in the heart is important, your outward condition, that doesn't matter. In fact, one sheikh giving khilafat to people who are wearing jeans and wearing shirts and no beards also. So when those murids, those khalifas were asked, how come your sheikh giving you khilafat when even your dressing is not even correct? So they say, our sheikh says, what is in the heart is important. The outside is not important. So many people are saying this. But Allah Ta'ala says, وَذَرُوا give up ظَاهِرَ الْإِثْمَ. That the inside guna also you must give up. That is, of course, kufr, shirk, nifaq, hypocrisy. All that gunas have to be given up. But in this ayat where Allah first mentioned zahiri guna, so how important is not zahiri guna? So don't think that zahiri guna is a small thing. Allah has mentioned it first. And there is an indication in this also that when you'll give up your zahiri, your outward guna, then you'll get saved from the inside guna. And if your outside is not right, your inside also is not going to be right. And that is proven from the magicians of Musa of Fir'aun, who came against Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. They made their outside like Musa alayhi salatu wassalam, and they had adab also. Two things the Mufassirin have written. When they offered Musa alayhi salam, you going to throw your stick first, or must we throw ours first? They had that adab also, and they made their dressing like Musa alayhi salatu wassalam. Anan for anan, like a wild fire spreading, Allah Ta'ala put complete iman in their hearts. Otherwise, iman and the perfection of iman, a lot of mujahada, a lot of time, it takes a long time. Then a person gets that proper iman. But yeah, Allah Ta'ala gave them that level of iman, that immediately on that they told to Musa alayhi salam, to Fir'aun, فَقْضِي مَا أَنْتَ قَاد. Do what you want to. You are the Lord, you call yourself Lord of this Zahiri dunya. But we want to go to Allah and we want Him to forgive us our gunas. That is what we want. And yeah, with you we are temporary, for a few days only. There we are going to be forever. And Fir'aun threatened also that I will have you executed. We're cutting off your one hand and your one leg, opposite hand and leg. I'll hang you on the trees. And suffering like this, you will die. They said, do what you want to. This, how, what level of iman? Today we are not prepared to give up our little sleep. We are not prepared to give up our small little comforts, luxuries. We are not prepared to give up for the sake of deen. What level that they said, you can torture us like this. We are prepared for that, but we can't give up our iman. It was just two basic things. From here also understand, which the Quran Sharif says, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. There are many things you think of them as small things, adab, etc., adab. One person in the majlis of one great buzurg of Bhopal, he said that after all, there is only sunnat. The buzurg said, definitely it is only sunnat, it's true. But the manner in which you have said it is kufr. That means the sunnat is a small thing. It is only a sunnah. That is very true. This thing is only sunnah. But the method, the lehja, the tone in which you have said it, that in other words, it's not important. What is sunnah? Sunnah is not important. And many people, na'uzubillah, say this openly, that the sunnahs, etc., that's not important. So, all the small things also are extremely, they are not small. Allah says that you take them as small, تَحْسَبُونَهُ هَيِّنًا but by Allah, وَهُوَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ عَظِيمٌ. They are very big. They are big, big matters by Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. So these magicians, adab, which many people today, no adab in anything, no adab for the husband, for the wife, no adab for elders, for parents, adab is lost. But adab is a very big, what iman Allah gave them, on the adab and on the outward dressing. They made the outside how Allah had made the inside. And after all, Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Umar Sahib Palanpuri Rahmatullah Ali should give this example quite often. That when it's raining outside, you have your house, when it's raining you close your windows, you close your doors. In your kitchen or in your pantry you've got a cabinet. The cabinet is also closed. In the cabinet you've got a bottle. The bottle is also closed. In that bottle, you have got salt. The outside rain, which is outside, that bottle is in a bottle. The bottle is in a cabinet. The cabinet is in the kitchen or in the pantry, and that is in the house. But that rain outside has got an effect right on the salt here. So just like that, whatever is happening around us also, and our dressing is with us, it has got an effect, a great effect on our inside also, on our iman, on our akhlaq, on every aspect of our lives. Our clothing also has got a very, very great effect. So a person should see that his outward gunas also he must give up. Outward gunas, many things they are. Amongst them, it is our dressing also. So just to run through quickly what our correct dressing. Also before that, we should understand, many people look at this from two points of view. That one is that we are living, for example, in a Western country. Now, yes, Western culture in our country, which is predominant in our country, in the Western world, Western culture is predominant. Now, to see that how we can fit in there Islamically. That is one point of view. That we are living in this culture, or we want to live that culture, but we want to Islamicize it. Therefore, if we're going to look at it from that point of view, you'll find loopholes in everything. And finally, nothing of Islam will be left. Everything you'll trade it in. Because now you want to, and many people want to live a complete Western style, but they want to Islamicize it. No, that is not the correct way. The correct way is that Allah Ta'ala says, فَأَقِمْ وَجْهَكَ لِلدِّينِ حَنِيفًا. You make your face straight for Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Another place Allah says, إِنَّ الدِّينَ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ الْإِسْلَامِ. The deen by Allah Ta'ala is the deen is Islam. And yeah, in all these, deen is, there are two aspects of deen. One is the literal, it's a religion. That is a deen. What is your religion? What is your deen? Ma deenuka. What is your deen? And the other, the more broader meaning of deen, which is also from Quran and Hadith, that deen is a complete way of life. It's not only your religion. And today, the West is playing on this tremendously, that Muslims must, they, no problem, they can stay with their religion. And what is that religion? That, for example, in our lives, we have got different spheres in our lives. We are, for example, business people, then you're a father also, and then you're a sportsman also, then you're a social member, community member also. You'll do community work, you'll do social work, you'll go and visit also. Lot of things which you are in your life. You are the driver of your car also, and you are the owner of your house also. As a house owner, you'll have to see to your house. As a driver, the owner of the car, driver, you'll have to see to those things. When you're in your business, you'll do your business. When it's time for your leisure, you'll do your leisure accordingly. Sports, you'll do your sports accordingly. In that one is, you're a Muslim also. So that is one department in your life. So when it's time for your namaz, now go to the masjid and go and make your namaz there. And this is also one thing we must understand. Today, we are in fact asked for this, and our religious authorities also petition and demand this. We want a place for namaz at the airport. They are too happy to give us the place, so that your namaz is not made everywhere, and which is a big dawah to Islam. Now you go in one remote corner of the airport, and you can make your namaz. We are very happy that we got the, so much they consider, they have given us a special place to make our namaz. In about 1976, we were in Jamaat in Raiwin, and there was a French priest, Abdul Majid, most probably was his name. He was about 80 years old. He had accepted Islam. He came to spend time in Jamaat. He said that three advices I give you people as Muslims. One is that your namazes, whenever, wherever the namaz becomes farz, perform your namaz there. Whether it's the roadside, whether it's the bus stand, whether it's a railway station, the airport. He says, you people are Muslims. You were born as Muslims. You grew up. You don't know what effect it has on the Christians. He was a Christian priest previously. He says that this, on the Christians, there are two groups. One is those who are open-minded, and those who are die-hards for their religion. So he says, those who are die-hards, how your namaz burns them, you cannot imagine. And those who are open-minded, what a good effect it has on them, you cannot imagine also. And many, many cases have been reported. When I said the same thing to one person, he was also a convert, a revert rather. He also said that it's very true. The postures of namaz have got a great effect on any non-Muslim who's open. We're taking it for granted. We don't make qadr of it. Ghar ki murghi, dar barabar. You're having everyday chicken in your house, you don't appreciate the chicken. Those who get chicken once in a while, how they appreciate it. So for us, we take it for granted. We don't appreciate. So it has a great effect. So wherever we can, try and make your namazes in public places. And Allah give us that strength of iman, call out your azan also. And call it out loudly also. It has got a tremendous effect. Our Shaykh Damat Barakat was in Barbados, and they went to the beach. It was Maghrib time. Beautiful beaches there. And there were those other people, scantily dressed also. So they told Hazrat, must we move from here? Hazrat said, no need to move. Just two, three people give azan and see how they'll, just now, all of them will move away. Two or three people gave azan and they all, firar ikhtiyar kya. They all went away. So Azan, Shaitan, when he hears Azan, he runs. He runs so fast that you can hear the sound comes out from his back also, passing off wind. So fast he runs when he hears Azan. So anyway, so that is one thing, one advice he gave. The second advice he gave is that the Azan itself, always call it out loudly. He says this Azan, what effect it has got on you people. And many places in Germiston where we were, and especially Fajr time, the Azan carries far. It goes quite a distance. Many of the non-Muslims, whites, blacks, they say that morning chanting of that person, it's so soothing. And many places Muslims complain of the Fajr Azan. And they under Hindu names, non-Muslim names, or they get some Hindu, non-Muslim people to go and complain that the Azan is disturbing us. Sadly, the Azan disturbs the Muslims today. And for the non-Muslim, it is so soothing. And they say it is such a chant and it is so soothing. The third thing what he told, your dressing. He says, you don't know that this dressing, the sunnah dressing, what a effect it has got on the people. Also there he said, those Christians who are diehards of their religion, it burns them to see that we dress like this. And for those who are open-minded, they just cannot stop admiring it. I remember when I just returned from India, after my studies, I was in Germiston, and I wanted to buy a washing machine. So I went Friday morning to a shop to go and see it. And I did not change. So the clothes that I was wearing was a day, 2 days clothes. But there were two ladies in that shop, elderly. And they were also perhaps, they were Christians, religious women. And when they saw me, they came all around me looking, admiring. How wonderful. How is this? This dressing is so beautiful. And it wasn't still white, pure white. A Friday, if you wear your pure white clothes and you have taken a bath, then I don't know. Similarly also, I used to travel by bus to go and teach from Primrose where we were staying. So at the bus stand, when we used to wait, there was a black lady who was also taking the bus there. Second or third day, she asked me, are you Jesus Christ? the effect of this clothes. And how many places, one place, it was I think in the West Indies, the Caribbean islands, some people had great objection to the beard and this dressing. So Christian people. So then this person asked them, according to you, how should Jesus dress? That person immediately, he was la jawab, he had no answer. This is the dress of the man of Allah Ta'ala. Also one woman, when we were in Germiston, also a black woman, this I narrated to Hazraji Maulana Inamul Hasan Sahib. On this, when I told Hazraji, immediately called for Maulana Palanpuri, Rahmatullah Ali, and he told me, repeat again what you said. That one woman accepted Islam just on the dressing of the Muslim people. There was one person, very good, a handyman, Ahmad Bey Jogi, his son is still around. He, at his hand, she had accepted Islam. And what attracted her to Islam was just this dressing, this sunnah dressing. She was so attracted. So what an effect it has, we don't know, there is da'wat. A poor Muslim, if he is living Islam, he is living da'wat wherever he is. So our dressing is very, very important. So this priest who had become a Muslim, and he had a very good mot also, he has given these three advices. Wherever it's your namaz time, don't go and hide and make your namaz. Make it in public, where all the non-Muslims are there. Don't go and stand in the way, in a doorway, and attract attention in a suitable way. And call out the adhan wherever you are. And your dressing, maintain our dressing. So dressing has got a great, great effect. The outside has a tremendous effect on the inside. Our outside, and the outside is in our control. Tere mehboob ke ya rab shabahat leke aaya ho. Oh Allah, I've only come with the outward form of your beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Haqeeqat isko tu karde, main surat leke aaya ho. You give me the reality of this. Because the truth is, we are not fit to wear this kurta, which is the sunnat kurta of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Where are we and where is Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And when we wear it, now we are saying we the ambassadors of Islam. And what our actions are today? What our character is today? What our morals are today? So we are not fit for it. But we wear it. In here also, many people, they feel that, for example, some people to this extent also, They don't read durood. They say that how can we be sending? We are not fit to send durood. They don't make isali sawab for Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That we are not fit to make isali sawab. Definitely we are not fit. And we are not fit to be Muslims also. So what are we going to give up our Islam also? And we are not fit to be human beings also. We are animals in human form. So then we must also go and live in the jungles now. Give up that also. We're not fit for it. No. That is not, that is the heza of tawazu. That humility out of proportion. Yeah, tawazu also must be there, but it must be in proportion. And the example of this must be like that old poor lady who was going to bid and to buy Yusuf alayhi salam. When somebody told her, where can you buy Yusuf alayhi salam? Today the kings and the big, big merchants and wealthy people, they're going to be bidding you, such a poor old lady, where can you? She said, I also know that, but at least my list can come amongst those people who were the bidders for Yusuf alayhi salam. So we are not fit. Maulana Muhammad Ahmad Sahib Pertabgari Rahmatullah Ali says that when durood has come from the arsh, when Allah is sending durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So what is our durood? And for that, see, if we perhaps did not consider it, Allah commanded us to send durood. But what we say in return, Allahumma, oh Allah, you send durood. So we are asking Allah on our behalf to send durood. We are not saying, usalli ala nabi, that I'm sending durood on my nabi. Usalli wa usallim ala nabiyyi. No, I'm not sending. Oh Allah, you send. Where am I fit? But oh Allah, you send the durood on my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Yeah, also some people will have an objection that Allah told us to send durood. We telling Allah, you send durood. But that is the correct way, the adab. Oh Allah, you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whether we say sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that also Allah, you send durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So, dressing is a very important, as food is, this all important aspects. Yes, so our deen is not that one compartment, that when it's namaz time, we go for namaz. When for umrah, we go for umrah. When it's hajj, we go for hajj. And balance of the time, khanqa time, we go khanqa. Jamaat time, we go jamaat. And the balance of the time, chutti from Islam. Like when you're playing sports, you wear sportsman's dress. But when you come in business, now you dress like that. That is not our deen, is not one compartment, one department in our life. For a Muslim, our deen is a way of life. Everything, even if we play sports, it will be Islamic sports, it will be done in the Islamic way. Even if we do business, our business will be Islamically orientated. We'll do business Islamic way. We getting married, nikah will be Islamic tariqah. We are having a function after nikah, say walima. It will be Islamic, not the name. Today in our nikah, everything is there which is not Islamic. Only the word nikah is Islamic. And in a whole 3 day, in a whole nikah, once in Karachi, 3 days for a nikah they took. And when the 3 days were over, there was a dispute whether nikah was made. The groom didn't know, the qazi didn't know, the bride didn't know. The nikah is for 3 days, but nikah, what is the whole thing all about? They don't know where the nikah took place. So that is how our system, we just have kept those names. Our shadi, our buzurg say, bas wo teen nukte ko urado. And make it sadi. Make it simple. Not Gujarati sadi, because Gujarati sadi is also full of the three nuktas still. But a Urdu sadi, wo shadi ko sadi karo. Make it simple. A simple wedding, that is all that has to be done. So just the name is not sufficient. In many things, we are fooled also. By just giving a different name, we think it's all right now. So our dressing is also extremely important, and we should see that we dress. It has one of the major things when a person becomes bayat also, which many mashayikh say, to maintain Islamic dressing. Because this in itself is going to have a tremendous effect on your insight. So we should try and maintain, with the details we'll try and go through as, inshallah, the days come. So there is also, as eating is so important, our lifestyle, Islam is a complete way of life. Also, if I do forget, remind me to show that from the riwayat of Mishkat Sharif, where Islam, one place, is shown as a religion also. And Islam is shown as a complete way of life also. And both are absolutely essential for us. وآخر دعوانا.